Thanks for joining us today on Soulful Conversations with Chas and Deb. One of my favorite parts of the day has always been conversations with my friend and spiritual teacher, Deb. In 10 years, we've never run out of things to talk about when it comes to matters of spirituality, recovery, the heart, soul, and ego. I always have the questions, and she always has the answers. Today's topic is putting ourselves in someone else's shoes. We're talking about empathy this morning, right?
Good morning, Chas. Yes, we're talking about empathy. Yes, being able to put ourselves in someone else's shoes. And there's a difference between feeling sorry for someone as opposed to being able to relate to someone from the heart. Empathy comes straight from the heart. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
And so where, I know you said you're finding newfound empathy. Did you want to share on that?
I do. And I think you just helped me understand myself more because right before we got on here, I was talking about these two people that have been on my mind right now. And I am, because of what I'm going through with my own loneliness right now and my own desperation and neediness that's showing up, it's helping me to understand why they have done and do the things that they do. And I think I did position myself as feeling sorry for them. Like at one time, I do think I did that. I think I thought I didn't have those problems. And I felt, But now I do feel like I can put myself in their shoes. And I have a way deeper understanding of it. I do. Yeah.
And that's such a good thing when we can, the more empathy we gain, the more, you know, we can contribute to the world from a heartfelt place. Right?
Yeah. And even watching you go through your feelings with this, like I feel empathy for you because I know what a painful feeling loneliness is. Like that's a very familiar feeling for me. I have felt it all my life. And your situation with your partner. Like I feel empathy there, I think, because not that I've gone through the caretaking part or any of that, but I have kind of gone through some of it with my pap, just watching all those changes happen with him. So the timing of everything is interesting. Just
and no coincidence, even your rabbit named Jack.
Oh my gosh.
Having empathy for him.
my little bunny has a limp. Yep. My little bunny. Yeah. So just interesting. I do think empathy is one thing that I'll be able to, one of the gifts I'll be able to pull from this, which is a huge gift, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And I'm glad you brought up about the loneliness because I feel like there can be shame attached to that.
Yeah.
You know, because as for me as a child, loneliness was, it felt shameful. It felt, yeah. I felt flawed. I felt that there was something wrong with me. I know that that's not true today, but definitely there's circumstances, especially my partner and the changes that are bringing a feeling up that I haven't, kind of like you, it's just been buried away. I've kept my life these last, even in recovery, last 25 plus years of just keeping my dance card full, keeping my life full, just, so of course I didn't feel lonely. And then, you know, the last 4 years, started 4 years ago, the health issues, well, that consumed my day. Like it was consuming. The pain was so consuming and the fear for a long time. And then the pandemic hit and it sort of gave me permission to just, you know, just let go of things. And that felt okay too. And only until about a week ago, I think, that I started noticing these feelings. And it's a very familiar feeling. It's one that I buried away. And here it is. Here is that old wound. Truth is, you know, my life is, it's absolutely right for me at this moment. Things are absolutely right and the lessons are perfect. I know that, as hard as they can be sometimes. And that lonely little girl, well, that's my responsibility to help her heal. And so we will. We will. But I can see where I, like you, have hidden behind relationships. I, too, have hidden behind relationships and busyness and all the things. Caretaking, big one, caretaking my whole life. I'm about over that one. But yeah, it's crazy how clever we can be hiding our wounds.
Yeah.
And how uncomfortable it is when they get exposed. You know, it makes you want to, my thought is, oh God, I want to run away. Like, I want out of here. And then I have to breathe and remember, no, there's purpose in this pain. And let's do some work, Deb. Let's heal this old wound that was so clever, you cleverly tucked away for so long. Yeah. So here I am. And I am not personally going to try to fill it with anything because, first of all, nothing works. Nothing works. And second of all, you know, things are just moving in a direction that I have no control over. So it's forcing me to just keep walking this out. Trusting it all. So a lot of things have healed over the last few years. Probably bigger than I know, and for you too. More than we probably realize. But here's some more. Here's some more.
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. Do you think abandonment and loneliness are tied together? They have to be.
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's still that wound. It's, how does it always come back to that abandonment wound? Always.
Because it's so big. It's, you know, when we didn't get those emotional needs met as children, when we didn't feel loved and safe and nurtured, then there's the wound. And then we grow up and we try to, well, your son is probably trying to do it right now.
Yes.
I think teenagers go through stages with that when they start to recognize some of those feelings and don't know what to do with them. That's not always a comfortable age of trying to fit in and, you know, starting to like girls, all that stuff that can take you on a roller coaster. Yeah, I think it's definitely the abandonment wound, Chaz. Good question.
Yeah, I think he's another person I feel empathy for. Like, he's definitely my mirror, but oh gosh, yeah, I just watch him and yeah, he is. He's
struggling.
He's
struggling and he's mirroring your struggle.
I know. He's trying a million things to make himself feel better. I watch him with the working out and the girls and just all of it. Yeah.
And I could certainly relate at that age with boys. Sure. You know, looking that boyfriend. Oh, mm-hmm. Thought I was going to die if I didn't get that phone call or, you know, whatever. Didn't get to see him in school. Like, I just thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
Yep. And then my parents moved us to Florida, Michigan. Right that first year. I had one year of just first time just felt really, it's not the first time I felt love, but the first time I just, all that.
Yeah.
It's just a good feeling. And then boom, we're moving.
Yeah, that's devastating.
It was devastating. And that's probably part of it in here too.
Yes.
Is, you know, feeling fear of loss, because it wasn't just him. I had two close friends that I grew up with, and you know, I didn't have a lot of friends. I had some acquaintances in school, but these girls lived in my neighborhood, and we'd been friends for as long as I could remember. And when I moved to Florida, it's like they completely forgot me. And so did my boyfriend. So it was a horrible feeling. to feel, yeah. I felt totally abandoned by them. And here I am in a state, eighth grade, and just so out of my element, such a different world down here and culture so different from what I was used to. And my parents, of course, were never of any help with situations like that, nor my siblings. So I would just had to push those feelings down and try to cover them up with something.
Yeah.
So I think that's when I became Dear Abby in school. Mm-hmm. I was like the love matcher.
Isn't that interesting? Isn't that interesting that that's what you turned into after feeling, you tried to fix other people's loneliness.
Yep. Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it started early.
And it's crazy when you can see it, right? Like, it's so clear sometimes what we do.
I know. Yes. And no wonder I chose the professions that I chose and the people that I chose in my life and all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Me too.
It goes back to the wounds.
Yeah. It never worked, though. None of it.
Oh, not a single thing worked. Because here I am.
Yeah. Yep.
Here I am at 68. Giving my age away. But here I am, and it's not healed. I feel it. It's not healed.
Yeah.
It's waiting to be healed, though. It's definitely coming to the surface in all directions. So yes. I can't miss it. I can't. And for the first time in my life, I don't have any place to deflect it. I can't deflect it. There's nothing to hide behind. Like, this is the first time in my life that there is literally nothing to be hide behind. That has never happened before. And I can tell you, it is very uncomfortable. It's very uncomfortable, but I trust it. Yeah. And I don't want to hide anymore. There's nothing to gain. There's nothing for me to gain. I'm not going to heal anything. I'm just going to do more of what I've always done. Yeah. So I'm just going to face it.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. Yep. Empathy. It's good to be able to see. Yeah. Just other people's struggles, I guess. But you can't really see it if you don't struggle as well. Like, so I guess, yeah, just interesting.
It's good to have empathy.
All of it. Yeah. I think that's my word today. I think my word is empathy. That is what I feel this morning.
Okay.
Empathy and love. Yeah.
Okay.
How about you?
Well, my intention this morning, before I even got out of bed, was to see life through eyes of love today. Oh. See every experience through eyes of love, not scarcity, not fear, not all those other things, but to see it through truth.
Yeah, love that.
Because life can be a loving experience, not always easy, you know, not always fun, but it can be. There is a loving presence that we all have access to, and we need to access our own hearts and just see people, life, everything through eyes of love and empathy, right?
Yeah, I agree.
It's a good lesson.
Any last thoughts?
Nope, I think that's a wrap.
Well, thanks for being here this morning, and thanks for sharing all your wisdom with us.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of Soulful Conversations with Chas and Deb. For anyone who's interested in exploring more wisdom, check out Deb's blog at debbiecruz.blogspot.com and also one of her several recovery Facebook groups, Codependent No More, Support Group for Women, where you will find access to her other groups and also Zoom recovery meetings, where women get to connect directly and ask questions. Until next time!